Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, September 24th, 2018. Coming up this hour,
global stocks decline as the U.S.-China trade war escalates.
Oil climbs as OPEC signals no urgency to boost output.
Bonds in Italy fall as questions about the government's budget continue.
And shares of Sky surge as Comcast beats out Fox for the pay TV company.
The second woman is accusing Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh of sexual assault. Plus, President Trump is preparing for tomorrow's address before the U.N. General Assembly. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Tiger Woods won the Tour Championship, his first win in 5 years. The Giants' first victory of the season in Houston. The Yankees lost. The Mets won.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by BNY Mellon's Pershing. Learn why the world's most sophisticated advisory firms and broker-dealers rely on Pershing to help them improve profitability, create efficiency, attract talent, and manage risk at Pershing.com.
U.S. futures and stocks around the world are lower as an escalation in the U.S.-China trade war seems likely. 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 5 points, Dow futures down 41, NASDAQ futures down 27. The DAX in Germany is down 0.33%, the CAC in Paris down 0.25%, and the FTSE 100 down about 0.2%. 10-year Treasury down 4/32nds, yield 3.07%, the yield on the 2-year 2.80%. NYMEX crude oil up 2% of $1.43 to $72.21 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.2% or $2.30 to $12.03.50 an ounce. The euro $1.1767. The yen 112.66. And the data check brought to you by USCF Invest in What's Real. Visit USCFinvestments.com. That's USCFinvestments.com. Bob.
Trade tensions are ratcheting up again with U.S. tariffs on $200 billion of Chinese goods kicking in and Beijing appearing to follow suit. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis reports from Hong Kong.
The latest round of U.S. duties took effect just after midnight Washington time. On China's expected retaliation, President Trump has said he'd look at another $267 billion in Chinese imports. This conflict looks headed for a war of attrition, and at the moment, there's no end in sight. Over the weekend, China called off planned trade talks with the United States. In Hong Kong, I'm Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Brian, thank you. Stocks in Hong Kong tumbled and the Australian dollar weakened following those latest trade concerns. But overall, it was a muted response in Asia, with markets in China, Japan, South Korea and Taiwan all closed for a holiday. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally reports from Singapore.
Real estate developers led the sell-off in Hong Kong amid concern they may suffer a potentially devastating blow to their biggest source of financing. Bank-to-bank borrowing costs jumped the most since December 2008 in the city as liquidity tightened ahead of forecasts for hikes to the underlying rate for the first time in more than a decade, in step with the Fed's planned September hike and following Friday's spike in the Hong Kong dollar. Elsewhere, Indian stocks and the rupee slid while futures markets suggested China would join the equity sell-off when markets there reopened, while China's beige book showed manufacturers were stressed even before the tariffs came into effect. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Juliet. Oil prices are heading higher as OPEC and its allies show no urgency to boost output. The market is also bracing for the loss of crude from Iran due to U.S. sanctions, and that has some traders predicting the return of $100 oil. Will Kennedy is Bloomberg's managing editor for energy and commodities.
The Iran sanctions are going to have a big impact quite quickly. We've already seen that exports from Iran have fallen 35%, and it's not that easy to replace that oil. So I think a lot of traders are concerned that it won't get so easy towards the end of the year. We have a big industry gathering in Singapore this week, the Asia Pacific Petroleum Congress, and traders that our colleagues have been talking to there are saying that it may not be straightforward, and we could see prices spark markedly higher later in the year.
Oil is trading near its highest level since 2014, with Brent crude now at $80.66 a barrel. NYMEX crude is trading at $72.20.
We have a tie-up between two of the world's biggest gold miners. Barrick Gold has agreed to buy Africa-focused rival Randgold Resources to create a company worth about $18 billion. Bloomberg's David Stringer has details.
For Barrick, this really is an opportunity to add production. Barrick is the world's top gold producer, but what it's seen in recent years is its output fall. So what this does is give it about 1.3 million ounces from Randgold's mines. Certainly gives it more production and also a bit more expertise in Africa.
The all-share deal values Randgold at about $6 billion. Barrick shareholders will own about two-thirds of the new entity.
In Italy, bonds are tumbling as questions continue over whether the government will respect the EU's budget rules. Investors will be combing through details when they emerge on Thursday to see if Rome's projections are supported by underlying growth assumptions. Andrew Balls is Chief Investment Officer for Global Fixed Income at PIMCO.
I think you should have more risk premium in Italy, given the government we have, a government that keeps talking about leaving the euro. So, you know, casual talk means something in terms of risk premium. I think the medium-term questions over debt dynamics are difficult and not getting any easier.
PIMCO and Aberdeen Standard Investments are staying either short or underweight on Italy's debt, while Societe Generale recommends investors position for a sell-off over the next 2 weeks.
Comcast has outgunned 21st Century Fox in the battle for Sky. Comcast topped its rival at a Saturday auction with a $39 billion bid for the British pay TV company. Bloomberg's Joe Mays reports it's now all but a done deal.
All Comcast needs to do now is get Sky shareholders to sell their shares to Comcast. And Comcast, by virtue of the knockout bid they made in this auction, Sky shareholders are likely to sell to Comcast. So we are approaching the end game, the final few weeks. And Comcast literally right now are buying up Sky shares in the market.
And that has shares of Sky surging this morning, up 8% in London.
Here in the U.S., the world's largest private technology company is reportedly taking another step towards an IPO. According to the Wall Street Journal, Dell Technologies plans to interview several banks this week for underwriting roles in a traditional public offering.
And the White House drafting an executive order that would target social media companies. If signed by President Trump, the order would instruct antitrust agencies to investigate whether any online platform has violated antitrust laws. The document doesn't name any specific companies, but would represent a significant escalation of President Trump's dispute with Google, Facebook, and Twitter. And straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. That brings us to 5:07 on Wall Street. The very latest now on the Supreme Court nomination from Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. The Senate Judiciary Committee has scheduled a hearing Thursday for Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh and Christine Blasey Ford, who says he sexually assaulted her as a teenager. Senator Lindsey Graham, Republican from South Carolina, is on the committee. He told Fox News Sunday he's willing to listen to Dr. Ford, but will not give in to pressure from his Democratic colleagues.
When I voted for Sotomayor and Kagan, I wasn't just a white male Republican. I was some kind of really smart, wonderful person. I know what the game is here.
Democratic Senator Patty Murray told NBC's Meet the Press Republicans are sending the wrong message to women and girls.
The message that it's a hiccup or we're going to plow through this is exactly what they don't want to hear today.
NBC's Meet the Press and Fox News Sunday can both be heard on Bloomberg Radio. Meanwhile, The New Yorker reports there are new allegations of misconduct from a second woman. Kavanaugh denies both allegations. Today, Bill Cosby faces the start of a two-day sentencing hearing for the 81-year-old comedian. Cosby was convicted in April of drugging and sexually assaulting a woman at a suburban Philadelphia home in 2004. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says President Donald Trump is willing to meet with Iran's Hassan Rouhani at the United Nations this week. Trump will address the U.N. General Assembly tomorrow in New York. As for traffic, the NYPD says more than 100 motorcades are expected each day in the city, causing major gridlock in Manhattan. It's another tough day for Theresa May's Brexit plans. Bloomberg's Jessica Shankelman has more from Liverpool.
The UK Prime Minister's fiercest critics prepare to spell out their demands for a harder divorce on Monday, while she convenes her top ministers to defend her strategy. Meanwhile, in Liverpool, the opposition Labour Party Jeremy Corbyn is creating a different kind of Brexit problem for May by leaving the door open to supporting a second referendum on quitting the EU. Corbyn says he'd rather have an election, but many activists want him to take a stronger line, and he says he'll accept whatever this week's party conference decides. In Liverpool, Jessica Shankelman, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts. in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. Now 5:09 on Wall Street in time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning to you, John Statshauer.
Good morning, Bob. It's been a long 5 years for Tiger Woods. Four back surgeries. Until this year, he had hardly played, and when he played, he didn't play well. But he was sixth at the British Open, second at the PGA Championship, and yesterday in Atlanta, Tiger won the season-ending Tour Championship.
You know, after Rory's tapping out, and all of a sudden it started hitting me that I was going to win the tournament. And, you know, I started tearing up a little bit, and the reason why I knelt down behind the ball, I said, you know, I got to get back to work here. Come on, just finish this off. And I just can't believe I pulled this off after, you know, what the season's gone through.
His 80th tour win, and for a little while it appeared he might even win the FedEx Cup, but Justin Rose gathered himself and birdied the last hole, so Rose won the $10 million prize. All the top golfers, including Tiger, now headed to Paris for the Ryder Cup. Give Eli Manning some time to throw. Look what he can do. 25 of 29, nearly 300 yards, a pair of touchdowns. The Giants got their first win of the season, 27-22 in Houston. It wasn't that close. Texans scored a TD with a second left. Last night, Detroit first win, 26-10 over New England, who's lost back-to-back games, first time since 2015. The Yankees lost to the Orioles 6-3. More significantly, they may have lost D.D. Gregorius for the rest of the season. He injured his wrist Saturday when he slid home with the run that won the game for the Yanks and clinched the playoff berth. Gregorius said he was hopeful he can still play next week. Yanks got some help from the Twins. They beat the A's. The Yanks are a game and a half ahead of Oakland for home field in the playoff game. The Mets won 8-6 in Washington. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Statshauer. Bob?
Thank you, John. And in sports business news, Under Armour is in talks to sign NBA star Joel Embiid, which would give the athletic brand more firepower in its push to take on Nike in the basketball shoe market. Embiid, a center for the Philadelphia 76ers, told the Philadelphia Inquirer that his endorsement deal with Adidas, or Adidas if you prefer, ends soon, and that he's in contract negotiations with Under Armour. S&P futures down 4 points. This is Bloomberg. Daybreak brought to you by Withum's 6th Annual Global Summit on September 27th. Learn how technology is impacting global business and what tools can help grow your business internationally. Visit Withum.com and click the Global Summit link to register.
Bloomberg. Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks declining in Europe after a downbeat session in Asia as China called off planned trade talks with U.S. officials, potentially triggering an escalation in the tariff war between the world's biggest economies. Oil climbing after OPEC gave a tepid response to President Trump's calls to boost supply. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 5 points, Dow futures down 41, NASDAQ futures down 29. The DAX in Germany is down 0.33%. 10-year Treasury down 5/32nds, yield 3.08%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.81%. NYMEX crude oil up 2% or $1.40 to $72.19 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.2% or $2 to $1203.30 an ounce. The euro, $1.1771, and the yen, 112.64. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Karen. The Senate Judiciary Committee has scheduled a hearing Thursday for Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh and the woman who says he sexually assaulted her when they were in high school. Meanwhile, The New Yorker reports new allegations of misconduct from a second woman who says Kavanaugh sexually assaulted her when he was a freshman at Yale. President Donald Trump enters the United Nations General Assembly this week as the world awaits critical U.S. decisions on Iran and North Korea. Trump addresses the U.N. tomorrow. In golf, Tiger Woods is able to create a PGA victory for the first time in 5 years. He's celebrating his win in the Tour Championship. In the NFL, the Giants, Ravens, and Redskins were winners. The Patriots, 49ers, and Raiders lost. In baseball, the Yankees lost to the Orioles. The Mets beat the Nationals. The Red Sox lost, along with the A's and Giants. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. It is now 5:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. It's a Fed decision week. Not much mystery on what that decision is likely to be, but still plenty of unanswered questions. We're joined now by Mark Vittner, senior economist at Wells Fargo. Good morning and welcome. So we are, of course, expecting those Fed policymakers to raise U.S. interest rates and release updated projections for the economy and monetary policy. And therein lie the question marks. Once that two-day meeting wraps up on Wednesday, Chairman Jerome Powell will share more details at a press conference. Mark, always glad to have you join us. What do you know in terms of the unknown?
Well, this one is a fairly easy meeting for the Fed, and they're widely expected. I think it's almost 100% probability that they're going to raise interest rates from 1.75% to 2% to 2% to 2.25%. They're likely to say that policy is still accommodative, that the risks are fairly well balanced. Inflation doesn't appear that it's set to break out. The one thing that I think folks will be looking for are any signs that things are getting a little bubbly. You know, look at what happened with Tilray and that big run-up that we saw there. And certainly we've seen some bottlenecks crop up in the economy. And so, you know, I think folks will be looking at the rhetoric. They'll be looking at how much of a signal he provides to when they're likely to move again. I think the market is now expecting another move in December, and that looks likely. That's what we have in our forecast. But we've got a lot of things that are going to be ahead of that. We've got the Iran sanctions that are set to take effect in November. So we'll have to wait and see, but I think they're certainly leaning in that direction.
The dot plot take special significance again coming around this time?
Well, I think folks will be looking at the dot plot to see if that would help explain how they feel about the risk longer term. And we are seeing shortages and bottlenecks, and there's no question about that. There's some signs that the economy is running a little hot. There's really not any sign that we're overheating, though, and that's so that there's no reason for them to ramp up and go from quarter point moves to half point moves. But where we may see some movement is in what level the federal funds rate eventually rises to. And right now they take the funds rate up to around 3.25 and then begin to lower it in 2020. You know, does that go to 3.5? I mean, there's still a pretty wide range of where the FOMC participants have the funds rate in 2020, and now we're going to be looking out in the forecast for 2021.
You mentioned Iran and, by extension, oil. Crude now trading near its highest level since 2014. Brent crude has topped $80. It's now at $80.85 a barrel. How much concern is there that could tip the economy?
Well, I think that it's on the radar screen, particularly with the Iran sanctions coming in November and are likely to be coming in November. The oil's pretty tapped out here in the U.S. right now. I mean, while we keep discovering lots more oil, there's not a real good way to bring it to market. There's a lot of pipeline construction underway, and there's a lot of the pipelines that are in place are all full. So it's tough to bring on increased production here in the U.S. and production's coming back on worldwide, but it's not really increasing faster in demand. So we've got a fairly tight oil market right now. I think that's something that might cause the Fed to waver a little bit, but it's got pluses and minuses. I mean, on the minuses, it certainly adds to inflationary pressures, but or is evidence of inflationary pressures. But on the pluses, we're a big oil producer, and it helps the energy business out in the oil patch.
You have any assumptions about where oil prices will be going forward?
We have them coming down because we feel that the higher interest rates and higher oil prices and all of this trade tension that we're seeing is likely to slow the global economy, and with a little bit of a lag, that's likely to slow the U.S. economy.
About a half minute left here. Any other concerns that you have going forward about the economy?
Well, one of the concerns that I have is the slow recovery that we're seeing in the housing market, which may have slowed further in the last few weeks. And we got a fairly decent number on existing home sales, but the strongest we were looking for, but they'd fallen for 4 months in a row and they were unchanged in the latest month. And there's a big question, is it demand or is it supply? Because if a home's priced around the median or less, it seems to sell very quickly. Mm-hmm. but homes priced above that are languishing, and we're actually seeing price cuts in a lot of the markets that had been fairly hot. So there is some question if even with the small increase in interest rates that we've seen, one of the most interest rate sensitive parts of the economy seems to already be feeling some pain.
Okay. Mark Vittner, thank you very much. Senior economist at Wells Fargo. Right now, the 10-year yield is at 3.0852%. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by National Realty, developers of prime New York, Hoboken, Philadelphia, and Delray Beach real estate, up to 20% return properties. See them at nria.net.
Broadcasting live from the Interactive Broker Studio in New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Stocks are lower around the world on trade concerns as we begin a new trading week. China has called off planned trade talks with U.S. officials, potentially triggering an escalation in the trade war.
Brent crude is trading near the highest level since 2014 after OPEC shunned President Trump's calls to increase supply. Checking oil right now, Brent is up 2.6%. It's at $80.88 a barrel, while NYMEX crude oil is up 2.2% at $72.30.
Shares of Sky are up more than 8% in London after Comcast's victorious $39 billion offer in a bidding war for the British broadcaster. Comcast topped a rival bid from 21st Century Fox, backed by Walt Disney, in an auction overseen by UK regulators.
Barrick Gold has agreed to buy rival Rand Gold Resources. The all-share deal will create a gold mining company with a combined market value of about $18 billion.
The Federal Reserve's policy meeting headlines this week's U.S. economic calendar. Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice has more.
Wall Street anticipates this year's third quarter point rate hike on Wednesday. Done deal based on futures trading. Will there be a fourth? Some say yes, depending on the data. The labor market is humming. After this week, the Fed meets in November and December. Among reports on the data list, consumer confidence, new home sales, GDP revisions, personal income and spending. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you. The world's largest privately held technology company reportedly is taking another step toward an IPO. According to the Wall Street Journal, Dell Technologies plans to interview several banks this week for underwriting roles in a traditional public offering.
Authorities in India are vowing to support financial markets rocked by growing concerns of default by shadow banks. India's finance minister says the government will provide adequate liquidity to mutual funds and non-bank financial companies.
And we continue to follow the volatile pot stock Tilray. It is down another 10% this morning to around $110 a share. At one point last week, Tilray hit $300. Now let's get you up to date on how stocks are faring. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Futures this morning are lower. S&P futures down 5 points. Dow futures down 42. NASDAQ futures down 29. The DAX in Germany is down 0.4%. 10-year Treasury down 5/32nds, yield 3.08%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.81%. NYMEX crude oil up 2.2% or $1.53 at $72.31 a barrel. And COMEX gold up about 0.1% or $1.70. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. Now 5:33 on Wall Street. New questions, new doubts facing the Supreme Court nominee. Here's Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. A second woman has stepped forward with an accusation of sexual misconduct by Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. According to the New Yorker, the claim dates back when Kavanaugh was a freshman at Yale. Kavanaugh has denied the allegation. Meanwhile, Dr. Christine Blasey Ford is scheduled to testify before the Senate Judiciary Committee on her allegations against Kavanaugh. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has more from the 960 San Francisco newsroom.
Thursday for Dr. Ford, followed by Judge Brett Kavanaugh. So far, Republicans have denied any request for any other witnesses, and Democrat Dick Durbin says it shows some concern on the Republican side.
I think the Republicans have shown their uneasiness with their own defense by refusing to allow Mark Judge to testify.
Durbin on ABC, but Republican Senator Lindsey Graham says he's not planning on ruining Judge Kavanaugh's life.
You can't bring it in a criminal court. You would never sue civilly. You couldn't even get a warrant. What am I supposed to do?
Graham on Fox, but Bloomberg's Roz Krasny says, bottom line, Judiciary Committee sets it.
Could be, you know, really one of the high drama days in U.S. government for decades, really.
Thursday in San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's sentencing day for comedian Bill Cosby. Cosby was found guilty in April on three felony counts of aggravated indecent assault. Iran is blaming the U.S. and Saudi Arabia for Saturday's terror attack on an Iranian military parade, killing members of the Iran Republic Guard. Iran's president called the U.S. a bully. Meanwhile, the U.S. ambassador to the U.N., Nikki Haley, told ABC's This Week the government there is reacting to the U.S. cancellation of the nuclear deal and restoring sanctions.
We stopped the hundreds of billions of dollars that were going to them and allowing them to do these violations. And so their economy is plummeting. The deals that they had are falling apart, and they're getting desperate.
ABC's This Week can be heard Sundays on Bloomberg Radio. Meanwhile, President Trump will address the UN General Assembly tomorrow. Traffic in Manhattan on the east side will be a mess. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. Now 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning, John Stashower.
Morning, Bob. Worth the five-year wait for the shot of Tiger Woods in that traditional Sunday red shirt with a big smile after winning the golf tournament for the 80th time as a pro. Finally happened in Atlanta, the season-ending tour championship. Many wondered if it would ever happen with all of Tiger's injuries and struggles since 2013.
It's been tough. You know, I've had a not so easy the last couple of years, and I've worked my way back, and I couldn't have done it without the help of, you know, everyone around me, and some of the players that I saw after on there on 18th green here, you know, some knew what I was struggling with, and it was really special to see them there, and it's just hard to believe I won the Tour Championship.
Many of those fellow golfers that Tiger mentioned got on a plane with him, headed to Paris for the Ryder Cup. Giants in the win column, first for new coach Pat Shurmur. The offense so dreadful last Sunday in Dallas, whole lot better in a 27-22 win at Houston. Eli Manning, 25-29 with two touchdowns. Saquon Barkley ran for 82 yards. Odell Beckham, 9 catches for 109 yards. Last night, Detroit upset New England. Huge upset earlier. Buffalo, a 16.5-point underdog, won easily at Minnesota. Yankees and A's both lost. Yanks remain game and a half ahead, as we learn this week where the one-game wildcard playoff game will take place. We'll also learn more about D.D. Gregorius' wrist injury. Not known if he'll be able to play next week. The injury occurred Saturday when D.D. scored the game-winning run that clinched the Yanks' playoff berth. Mets yesterday won 8-6 at Washington. We're at the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. I'm John Stashower. Bob?
Thank you, John. Now 5:37 on Wall Street, and the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now, with the cover on Chairman Jay Powell's efforts to protect the Fed from President Trump's push for low rates. Also in this week's issue, the gender gap when it comes to stock options in Silicon Valley. Rebecca Greenfield wrote the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
Women hold 47 cents of equity for every dollar a man holds. So that's over a 50% equity gap.
You can read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now and listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time right here on Bloomberg Radio. Now coming up on 5:38 on Wall Street, time for your Tri-State Business Report and our check-in with Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. J.P. Morgan Chase is opening its first retail branches in the Philadelphia area. The bank's planning to open about 50 branches and hire 300 people in Philly, Delaware, and southern New Jersey. Chase plans to increase mortgage and small business lending by $3 million in the area through 2023. In less than 2 weeks, activists who oppose the American Museum of Natural History's $383 million expansion will get their day in court after filing a lawsuit earlier this year against the institution in New York City. Wall Street Journal says the museum, they feel the museum is not entitled to the city-owned land that will be needed for the expansion. And Connecticut will get more than $20 million from the federal government to fight opioid addiction. The funding was announced Friday by Governor Daniel Malloy. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Bob?
Ed, thank you very much. And now, coming up on 5:39 on Wall Street, Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Podolsky, and on KYW in Philadelphia, we're watching shares of Comcast now that it topped Fox in a bidding for UK broadcaster Sky.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KFAB in Omaha. The Trump administration is said to be planning to lift summertime limits on high ethanol gasoline.
I'm Marcus Carlson on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're following a challenge to Prime Minister Theresa May as Tory rebels publish a rival Brexit plan.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that results from a recent study could greatly expand the use of a heart device from Abbott Labs.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting Porsche will stop offering diesels because of waning demand.
Thank you all. Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. The global trade war isn't expected to throw up too many winners among currencies, but the euro could be one. That's according to Deutsche Bank, which says Europe's common currency is set to climb back toward $1.20 as the U.S. substitutes Chinese imports with those from the euro bloc. Right now, the euro is trading at $1.1772. S&P futures are down by 6 points, 0.2%. Dow futures are down 43 points. That is 0.1%. And NASDAQ futures are down 30 points. That is 0.4%. 10-year prices at down 5/32nds, and the yield at 3.0833%. And stay with us just ahead in our Bloomberg Law Brief segment. We'll look at the upcoming U.S. Supreme Court term, which is set to begin October 1st. This is Bloomberg Radio.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks are declining in Europe after a downbeat session in Asia as China called off planned trade talks with the U.S. officials, potentially triggering an escalation in the tariff war between the world's biggest economies. Oil, meanwhile, climbing after OPEC gave a tepid response to President Trump's calls to boost supply. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 6 points, Dow futures down 46, NASDAQ futures down 32. The DAX in Germany is down 0.4%. 10-year Treasury down 5/32nds, yield 3.08%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.80%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.8% or $1.26 to $72.04 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.1% or $1.50 to $12.02.80 an ounce. The euro is at $1.1770, the yen 112.67. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. On Thursday, the Senate Judiciary Committee will hear from Dr. Christine Blasey Ford, the person who first accused Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh of sexual assault. But now there is another accuser. Deborah Ramirez, a former Yale University classmate of Kavanaugh, tells The New Yorker magazine Kavanaugh exposed himself to her during a drinking party in a dorm room 35 years ago. Kavanaugh denies both allegations. In golf, Tiger Woods is able to celebrate a PGA victory for the first time in 5 years, winning the Tour Championship. In the NFL, the Giants, Ravens, and Redskins were winners. The Patriots, 49ers, and Raiders lost. In baseball, the Yankees lost to the Orioles. The Mets beat the Nationals. The Red Sox lost along with the A's and Giants. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers studios, where it is now 5:49 on Wall Street. Time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion, our platform offering informed perspectives on a range of global topics and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news. We are joined live now by Edward Evans, Bloomberg Opinion Editor in our London Bureau. Edward, good morning. You know that old line about the thrill of victory and the agony of victory. Chris Hughes writes that Comcast had to breach the pain barrier to top Fox and reach for Sky.
This is Comcast's victory over Rupert Murdoch's 21st Century Fox in the battle for the British satellite broadcaster. He's won it, but it's been a dearly won asset. He's offered more than about £30 billion. That's $40 billion for Sky. And that the winning price is absolutely jaw-dropping. The risk of overpaying for Sky in a deal that might not even result in full ownership had unnerved Roberts' investors since his ambitions for Sky emerged back in February. A failed attempt to stop Disney's acquisition of Fox's entertainment business left Sky looking like something like a necessary consolidation prize. Now, shareholders are used to the splashy deals for Hollywood studios and popular TV content that have punctuated the US market this year. But the strategic logic of owning Sky is very clear. Gives Comcast 23 million households in a European pay TV market that's much less mature than in the US, where Netflix, of course, has been gobbling up subscribers. And Sky has actually shown very clearly that it can fight back against the streamers. Roberts has his work cut out, though, making this pay. The offer values Sky at $48 billion, including assumed debt. That's about 15 times expected EBITDA for the current fiscal year. Now, that compares with a valuation multiple of just 8 times for Comcast. Now, unless Roberts can magic up some higher synergies than previously stated, or Sky does vastly better than expected, earning reasonable returns from this deal is going to take more than 3 years, for sure. That goes against the indications that Comcast gave when it first came forward with a far lower opening bid. This was an expensive victory.
Okay, a merger may be the best solution in the gold business. David Fickling's story suggests that gold trader Barrick needs Randgold to make the gold grade.
Yes, gold miners have been struggling now for decades against geological destiny. Look at the grade of metal in the world's gold reserves, and it's been declining for years, from an average level of more than 10 grams a metric ton in the late 60s to about a tenth of that now. That's a problem, because few gold mines can operate profitably below 1 gram a ton. Now, to put that in context, that's the equivalent of extracting 2 teaspoons of gold from a Statue of Liberty's worth of ore. Now, with gold prices now about $1,200 a troy ounce, the deterioration of the ore quality is becoming a real problem. From levels of 1.42 grams a ton a decade ago, the average reserve of the grade of the top five gold miners has fallen to 1.12 grams in 2017. Now, in recent years, Barrick's executive chairman, John Thornton, has taken a ruthless approach to this problem. Slash operating costs, use analytics to supercharge the productivity of its pits. But that can only get you so far, because the grade of most deposits goes down as miners dig up the best bits. And that's the reason why a combination with Randgold Resources has become essential.
Ed Evans in London, thank you. And you can read more on these and other stories from Bloomberg Opinion at Bloomberg.com/opinion and on the Bloomberg terminal by typing OPIN Go. Karen.
And we have this headline here, crossing the Bloomberg, Bob. Michael Kors set to near an agreement to buy Italy's Versace. We'll bring you more on that story as it becomes available. It is 5:52 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Podisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
A new Trump administration proposal means the use of Medicaid or other public benefit by immigrants or their children could hurt their chances of staying in the U.S. through a green card or other means. Data obtained by Bloomberg Law suggests the TSA is a revolving door for screeners at 10 of the busiest airports, indicating it is experiencing higher turnover than other government agencies. And attorneys representing potentially thousands of opioid-addicted babies asked a federal panel to set up a separate legal proceeding for their suits against drug makers and distributors.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Now, in other legal news, let's look at the upcoming U.S. Supreme Court term, which is set to begin October 1st. For that, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks with Bloomberg Law Supreme Court reporter Kimberly Strawbridge Robinson.
Kimberly, compare this term to last term.
Well, last term was really just an incredible term where we saw so many headline-grabbing cases. We had cases where the judges were going to potentially decide such issues as big as partisan gerrymandering, of course, the controversial travel ban, and even a really high-profile dispute between religious freedom rights and LGBT protections. So it was quite a monumentous term, but not totally out of the realm of what we've been seeing from the Supreme Court over the last several terms.
In your latest piece, you quote Professor Jonathan Turley of the George Washington University Law School, calling one of the cases coming up this term a Trojan horse. Let's start with that.
Well, sure. This case is called Gundy versus the United States, and it really involves kind of a sleeping giant among constitutional law, and that's what's known as the non-delegation doctrine. And it's really simply just that, you know, Congress can give some of its lawmaking authority away to administrative agencies that are in the executive branch, but it has to give the agency some guidance. It can't give away all of its lawmaking authority. And so the Supreme Court has cited this rule often, but it hasn't very often struck down laws based on this rule. Indeed, the last time and only time that the court has done it was in the 1930s.
What effect might the case have if the court does this? The United States, in its briefing, noted that nearly a dozen laws that the courts have upheld under this lenient standard might be subjected to this.
Well, that's right, and it really depends on how the Supreme Court ultimately comes down, how broadly they say the non-delegation doctrine applies. And so, you know, if the court is going to hold Congress to task very tightly and make it, you know, make a really clear guidance to the agencies, then that could put, you know, virtually unlimited laws in play. If instead the court says, well, in general, Congress has a lot of leeway, but here it went too far, that's going to affect fewer laws.
And that's Bloomberg Law Supreme Court reporter Kimberly Strawbridge Robinson speaking with June Grosso. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law. Weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. And find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. Bob.
Thank you, Karen. Now 5:56 on Wall Street. Time for your Bloomberg ETF report brought to you by Oppenheimer Funds. Challenge the status quo with ETFs that adapt monthly to an ever-changing world. Find out more at oppenheimerfunds.com/ETFs. And here's Bloomberg's Julie Hyman.
After all of our discussion about it, it is finally done, the S&P 500 reclassification. Eric Balchunas of Bloomberg Intelligence is here. So this was the creation of the new sector, subsector within the S&P that has things like Google and Facebook.
So this is a new sector called communications. It's really telecom renamed. Telecom had been like, really, I mean, just nobody really cared about it. It had a couple stocks. Total market cap of the stocks was $500 billion. $2.5 trillion. Worth of stocks are moving into this sector. So it's going to grow by fivefold in one shot. And tech is losing a lot of stars, right? Mm. If you're a sector investor, this is going to change your models. It's a big deal. The ETF, if you're looking for exposure to the sector that is the new communications, is XLC. That's going to be that spider sector that aligns with the other ones. And you'll see a lot of move from XLK to XLC. A lot of people have prepared for this, so I don't see a lot of volatility, but we will see.
Yeah, this is the biggest sector reclassification since 1999 for the index. Thanks, Eric. With the Bloomberg ETF Report, I'm Julie Hyman.
All right, Julie, thank you. And again, sources tell Bloomberg handbag maker Michael Kors Holding is nearing an agreement to buy Gianni Versace after the iconic Italian fashion house drew interest from several suitors. And Michael Kors may announce a deal as early as this week that values Versace at about $2 billion. This is Bloomberg Radio.